It is Locked On Jazz for the 14th of October. The preseason games are done. Stage two is complete. I'm wildly impressed by what I saw by the veterans. Jared Butler has wowed the fans. What is Quinn Snyder saying? What's next for him? And my star of the preseason for the Utah Jazz. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow!
You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, and hopefully making it way better to be a Jazz fan. Thank you very much for making Locked On Jazz your first listen of every day. We are free and available on all platforms, including YouTube, where you can subscribe at this button right down here and set your notifications. Good morning to Josh. It's afternoon in Scotland, but hello. Good morning to Lee. Good morning to Robert. Good morning to Cameron, and good morning to Bryce. Nice to meet you last night. Hope you had a good time at the game. Took his nephew to his first game ever. I was wildly impressed by what I saw out of the Jazz in the last two games. And what I was really impressed with was the commitment of the veterans. Fans are going to be wowed by Jared Butler. We'll talk about it. I have my own personal player who played really well in this thing. But the commitment of Jordan Clarkson and Mike Conley and Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert and Bojan Bogdanovic and Royce O'Neal and Joe Ingles only played one game to play in a certain style with a certain aspect. I actually would say Jordan Clarkson was more noticeable to me than any other player on the team in how they changed how they were playing. And the second one would have been Donovan Mitchell. But both Jordan Clarkson and Donovan Mitchell got into people defensively, tried to contain, understood that there's the issues for the Utah Jazz are center stage are clear. They've got to contain the basketball. They've got to be able to play some sense of defense if Rudy's not bailing them out. And then offensively, they have to play with incredible pace, accelerate what they did even a year ago. And really, to me, that's what I thought I saw out of the Utah Jazz in this preseason. And to me, it was really, really impressive. I know guys want to talk about Jared Butler and that, but I want to dig into this a little bit more. Because to me, this is what where there was stage one of training camp, stage two of training camp, and now we're into stage three. And to me, I think I've seen the impact of stage one impact stage two. So I want to dig in that. I do want to share one lockdown note with you. I meant to do this at the beginning. So we have launched a new program. We're not running a lot of promotion on it. So this is one of those, like, because you are part of the original Locked On team, I share this with you. And I'd love your thoughts. So it's called Locked On Now. It's a podcast. It will have a recap of every NBA night, every NHL night, and then NFL topics throughout the week. From all of our local experts. So as a podcast, you can get it as Locked On Now. On YouTube, you can get it on the individual channel. So today we launched the Locked On NFL version of all the biggest matchups of the AFC this week with our local experts. So you can listen, hosted by Kim Beckerly. Kim Becker, not Beckerly. She didn't become Patrick Beverly. Kim Becker. So you can just check it out and feel free to give me your thoughts on it. I'm always curious to hear what you guys think. You've done a wonderful job of helping me guide this network along the way. And so this is one of our new ventures. I think it's got some prospects of being really cool. It's something nobody else can do or has done across the country. And so to do something new, I think is important. All right, let's get to it. So if you stage one of this training camp and this preseason was the Jazz going to Vegas. They were 3 weeks away from the season starting, and they really, frankly, didn't need a lot of like work in the sense of the way Chauncey Billups does with the Blazers right now, or Willie Green is probably with the Pelicans, putting in system. There's no system to put in. There might be minor adaptations, but they went to Vegas. They got on the floor. Then they seem to have had a meeting, according to Joe Ingles and some conversations that to give credit to Andy Larson of Salt Lake Tribune that he led, where they got together and they either rewatched or just talked about the second half and the playoff collapse against the Clippers, and they addressed it. And then they moved forward into a conversation of what do we have to do to rectify that? What do we do well? And then I think it sounds as though they went back and watched the first half of that game, which was about as good as the Jazz have ever been. And so that was stage one, which was this, let's address the elephant in the room, which is that we had a playoff failure, and let's make sure we're still cohesive enough together to move forward and be a part of a team. And then sounds like inside of that was, let's also remember how damn good we were. Like, they were 52-20 in a 72-game schedule. They were four-point differential better than anyone else in the league. They were the number one defense, number three offense. I mean, they were great last year. This group is really good. Really, really good. Amazing year. We've been running highlights. Alex Lundberg's done a nice job on our broadcast of putting together highlights of last year. And there just were so many. Joe Ingles' three-point record and Donovan's baseball pass and Rudy's blocks and just three-point barrages and just incredible things. And so I feel like and it was amazing to me actually how good a mental set all of the guys were in when we met with them on content day. So that was stage one of this. And it feels to me as though whatever message that the Jazz wanted to get across is a internal group in that message came across, because I saw Jordan Clarkson play faster, play harder, play more intent on defense in the preseason than I did in many times last year's offseason. Now, there also was some point last year where they probably started sipping their own Kool-Aid. They were just that good. They were beating people by 20 with regularity. Why do I need to work that hard? I'm tired. And it was a brutal season last year. I cannot, having been on the road for one road trip, I cannot imagine how exhausting it would be to have done what they had to do with all the testing and everything else. It's incredible to me. So how exhausted they must have been last year is only becoming clear to me as I go back on the road with the minor, tiny, little, itty-bitty things that we have to do differently than we used to, and just realizing, wow, what last year must have been. Plus, there were a lot last year for this team. Doug Burrell passed away. There was just a lot, and they fought through all of it. And so now I see them and they just have a juice to them. And they seem energized. So whatever was stage one, I think worked. Stage two, the pace by which Jordan Clarkson's playing, the pace by which Mike Conley's playing, Donovan Mitchell's commitment on all things. I thought in the first game against San Antonio, Donovan came out and tried a bunch of things that he'd worked on, didn't do him well, asked to play the second half, scored a bunch of buckets, called it, said, I'm good. I figured this out. Then came back out, played really well in game number three. And then last night was dominant against the world champs, playing their guys. So I really, really am impressed. Mike Conley has been superb. And the camaraderie on the pick and roll and the connections, and I want to get into that a little bit because I've learned a ton this week talking to coaches about the pick and roll, really was great. I know we are all excited about Jared Butler. I've got my guy. We'll talk about him. Truth of the matter is, what stage two of the preseason was, which was these four games, was the buy-in from the vets. Because who matters on this team is Mike Conley and Jordan Clarkson and Donovan Mitchell and Joe Ingles and Bojan Bogdanovic and Royce O'Neal and Rudy Gobert. Am I forgetting anyone? Those seven guys. That's what matters. Those are the guys that are going to drive this train. Do we have a little more depth with Rudy Gay? Hope so. Can Hassan Whiteside play? He was super last night. We'll talk about that. Hope so. Can Jared Butler add a tiny little texture? Sure. If guys get hurt, can Mia Oney or Elijah Hughes play a little? Sure. It's great. Is it going to make a difference? No. Those seven guys buy in stage one in Vegas to come out and play the preseason with that level of commitment, that's what mattered. And we saw it. It was evident. Really, really evident. They moved the ball. They played with pace. They had the spin possessions that they ping possessions. They had the quick threes. They got up the floor. Jordan Clarkson was playing with a rocket out of his back in transition. He said after the game, he did it so Jared Butler would see how he's supposed to play. That's the veteran buy-in we're talking about. That's what gives this team a real chance to be great, is all of those guys collectively doing it once. That's what the preseason was about, and they executed it. Now they move to stage three. They take a day off today. I'm going to guess they go fairly hard tomorrow and Saturday. They take Sunday off. They go moderately hard Monday. They prep for the Thunder on Tuesday. They do a shoot around Wednesday, and we go. And let's go. Let's get on the train and ride, because this is going to be something awesome, because they're really good and they're really bought in, and that's really awesome. Quinn Snyder had a quote about Jared Butler that tells you an awful lot. It's the same observation I had during the ballgame. We'll talk about the rookie from Baylor and his impressive preseason as we continue. Today's show is brought to you by Intercap Lending. Steve Carter over at Intercap is our own personal loan officer, and he is just terrific. Everyone who's dealt with Steve Carter has come back to me with the same kind of review, saying that simply it blows their mind, the customer service they get, the timeliness. You can email me first at dlock09 at gmail.com, and I will take care of your setting you up with Steve Carter to make sure that you have that one-on-one relationship with him. We'll give you the Locked On Jazz corporate discount as we've set that up with Intercap. Intercap's a really great company. They direct lender, owner, at least for me, they still own my own own our loan, have it trade off. They're hyper responsive. They get deals done. They've had massive growth. Why have they had growth? Because deals get done, and that's what everybody wants to deal with. You can call Steve Carter directly if you don't want to go through me at 385-885-28. That's 385-885-28. Intercap Lending, NMLS number 190465. For more information, visit intercaplending.com and find out about the greatness that is Steve Carter over at Intercap Lending. Feel free to email me and I'll set you up. Or again, call Steve directly at 385-885-28. Just make sure you tell him you were Locked On so that you get the corporate discount. Today's show is also brought to you by Sweatblock. Excessive sweating, big meeting, first date, whatever it might be that makes you a little nervous. Well, Sweatblock is here to solve the problem for you. It is an antiperspirant that is the number one antiperspirant on Amazon right now. Stop the embarrassing sweat before it happens. Use the promo code LOCKEDON and you get 20% off at sweatblock.com right now for you. Doctor created, doctor recommended. They also have the antiperspirant wipes for the right before if you need it once or twice. They also have it for your hands or your feet if you've got sweating there. All sorts of great products at sweatblock.com. So go check it out. Use the promo code Locked On and get 20% off at sweatblock.com. Special hello to all of the people out there. Educator David Horan is on. I hope you've been hearing about the McDonald's ad we've been running for you on Locked On, getting you the free breakfast this week. Special hello to Brandon and Ron, who are all on the live show as well. Adam and Julian, thanks for stopping by. Blake says this. He says the third quarter last night was awesome. Our second unit to keep pace with the mostly first unit Bucks team was awesome, even if it was preseason. That was a good preseason game. I will tell you the one takeaway I have from the preseason. We saw Luka Doncic and Giannis, and they were both insane. Giannis is incredible. He was diving on the ground for balls as a two-time MVP world champion in a preseason game. He simply doesn't know any other way to play. I was talking with someone at halftime involved with the Jazz, and they literally said, I hope our guys are seeing this because that's what they have to go through. To get to the championship and to win this thing, they've got to go through that. They're going to have to knock that off. Giannis last night, the speed and energy and that he took into a preseason game. I think I talked about this yesterday. I remember 2 years ago, he was mad because he had been dismissed, kind of the way he played for Greece in the national games. And he came out and just throttled us in a preseason game. That energy, I've read his book, the book Mirian wrote about him, and like you just have the background. There's an incredible story in the book about Giannis and his family were evicted again. They multiple times evicted. They were always playing this kind of game of trying to get landlords to give him an extra week or an extra two just to stay housed because they were just so desolate. And there's no money coming in for Greek immigrants. And Giannis was selling trinkets on the streets, trying to make enough money with his brothers for their family. And they would run out. And so they were, at one point they got evicted. And the only thing they owned as a family was a refrigerator. And so they had to go 2 miles, I think it was, to get to where they were staying next. But they had this refrigerator and they had no way to get it there. So the boys figured out with their skateboards, how to jerry-rig something so that they could push the refrigerator for 2 miles on the Greek streets of Athens to be able to get to their next location that they would try to, you know, survive at. It's really and his commitment to being able to get to that level and be that pro and be able to, is relentless. He was just relentless. And he was this skinny kid who didn't have a chance and all these things. So really remarkable story in Giannis. Great book. If you want to read it, to hear an inspirational story and also detailed, great reporting interview after interview after interview after interview about these things. So lots there. I thought Jared Butler. All right, let me see how I'm going to do this, because I know people are super excited about Jared Butler. I am too. So let me see how I can. I'm going to walk a tightrope here, and I want to make sure I really get my message across. So first, he's way better than I thought he was. From the college film that I watched, I was not sold. I thought he was good. I didn't see something special. I see some really special stuff, like the dribble, the in and out, the control, the burst, the getting the basket. Those are big time moves for a college player playing a few years in college to be in the NBA. The move he put on George Hill for the and dunked, the way he got Chris Middleton on a play when he beat Reggie Bullock in the game the other night, got by Maxi Kleber. These are big time moves. The kid can play. So let's start there. He's better than I thought he was going to be. There are some really hard things about scouting collegiate players, because there's no space, there's no room on the floor, and he's getting playing with four out, playing with spaced out floor. His dribble game is crafty enough. His moves, his hesitation, his change of pace is crafty enough. He's beating people. It doesn't look to me as though something that players are going to be able to adapt to primarily. So I'm super impressed. He's got to move the ball. He has not yet figured out that he's on the floor with players that are probably better than him. And he's got to move the basketball. He doesn't quite figure it out yet that if he moves the basketball on this team, he likely gets it back. That's the beauty of the Jazz. He's coming down the floor, and it's all created by him on every possession. Sometimes it's beautiful. He makes a layup. He makes a beautiful pass. It's just not the answer for how he's going to be successful playing for this basketball team for the season. He's got to play inside the group and understand he has teammates. I'll get to another guy who's begun to do this. Quinn said after the game, I think Jared is finding a balance between his ability to create, whether it is for himself or his teammates, and to get his habits, getting used to playing with people. Now, maybe he came out and wanted to prove it. I thought he was better as the night went on last night on that, but he really is not moving the basketball at all. He's coming down on his side of the floor, dribble, 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 waiting for the pick, dribble, 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 beating his guy, making a good move, making a really good play, doing something that from a talent evaluation standpoint is tremendous. And shows that he's going to be really, really good in the league and going to be able to play in the league, even though he's small and has a short wingspan. There'll be all those little things that he's going to have to overcome along the way. But he's not moving the ball. Someone just said, well, didn't he have 7 assists? He did. A lot of those are off that action. And so that action might drive and they throws the beautiful ball. It still means nobody else touched the ball in the possession other than the guy who dunked. The way we play is quick actions, coming off a pick and roll, moving the ball, swinging it around, next guy gets it. And then maybe as it comes back to you the next time in your clock, you do that same thing that you just did at 18 on the clock. So he just needs to learn. The other thing, as good as he is, and he's doing a nice job, is when he starts playing in the regular season, almost every single time there'll actually be somebody else on the floor who's better than him doing that. This is a really tricky NBA thing. So you can be really, really good at something, but unless you're Donovan Mitchell, unless you're Mike Conley some of the time, there's probably somebody on the floor who's better than you at that. So as good as Butler might be right now at beating someone and doing something, there's probably somebody on the floor we'd rather have do that for our well-being as a team. And then if they can't do it, it comes back to Butler and he makes the play, rather than him just doing it without involving the other guys. It's tiny. The big picture item is he's really good. He played really well. He's showing a lot of signs. He's shown an ability to play. He's shown a confidence. There's a lot of really, really good things. I'm just telling you what the textural next item is. I actually think there's a real chance, as good as he's been, that the way Trent Forrest plays is actually in some ways better for this team for the short stints that he's going to play. Like, to me, had Trent Forrest not got the concussion, what I had seen up to that point was, as much as Jared Butler's scoring and more beautiful, Trent Forrest's baseline drive throw out to a three is as good a play as you can make. It wasn't from what I saw in this hat, it wasn't drastically different between Jared Butler and Trent Forrest. In fact, if I was a coaching staff, I might go to Trent Forrest. So just understand that as good as he's been, and again, big picture, way better than I thought he was going to be, totally can play in the NBA, fabulous pick at 40, going to be able to contribute to this team. All great. Not a ready product. Nobody is, really. I don't think Cade Cunningham is. I don't think Evan Mobley is, though Mobley's been pretty good in preseason. You have to learn. And you have to learn how to play with your teammates. That's what Quinn said. I think Jared is finding a balance between his ability to create, whether it for himself or his teammates, and just the habits getting used to playing with people. Okay? So, all right. I have my star of the camp. And really, it's my star of the camp of what we've seen because he just did all the things I just talked about. So at least I'm consistent. We'll touch on that here in a second. Also, Hassan Whiteside's performance last night is worth talking about. And some interesting comments from Mike Budenholzer that maybe we'll get to today, maybe we'll get to tomorrow. We have a Friday show. I'd like to, hopefully you guys will get involved for a lot of chat. And then Monday and Tuesday, and then Wednesday it's game day. So we're revving it up to the final stages of the preseason, get this season going. Today's show is brought to you by betonline.ag. If you're going to get in the action this weekend, the preferred place for Locked On is at betonline.ag. And you get a 50% welcome bonus with the promo code Locked On. Game tonight taking place Thursday night football. It is the Buccaneers, a 6.5-point favorite over the Eagles. If you're watching the Giants-Dodgers, the Giants are a one-run favorite over the Dodgers. Oh, my goodness gracious, that can't be true. Oh, it's depends how you want to do it. I take it back. On baseball, you can bet one run, two runs, one and a half, and they'll give you the various things, the over-under and all that. There's also all sorts of fun run hits and errors, adjusted run lines. You can get into all the fun little bets along the way at betonline.ag. Basketball, NBA futures, NBA team wins, playoff specials are all there. What are you taking on the Utah Jazz over-under? They have the Utah Jazz over-under at 53.5. What are you doing with that? What's your take on that? The Los Angeles Lakers over-under is at 53.5 as well. So they have the two teams tied for the number one seed in the Western Conference. The Phoenix Suns over-under line at betonline.ag is 51.5. I think I might go over on that. All right. Who was my star of the preseason next as we continue on Locked On Jazz? Thank you very much for making Locked On Jazz your first listen of the day and every day. And Locked On Fantasy Basketball is ready for you. Plus, the Odyssey Fantasy Preview, really good conversation. Multi-part series. Go look at Ultimate NBA Preview, courtesy of Locked On and Odyssey. For you, that's probably your next listen of the day. All right, JJ Mars says in our chat room, the Jazz shouldn't even try, according to Brendan Kleen from Locked On Suns. He just said, nobody takes the Jazz seriously. Rudy Gobert got laughed off the floor in the playoffs. Wow, game over. Well, then give Brandon some business. I do think the second part's inaccurate, and most good analysts are kind of touching on that about Rudy getting played off the floor not being inaccurate. Rudy being made less impactful is true, but played off the floor is not true. The general take that nobody's going to take the Jazz seriously in the regular season, I think is going to be something we have to fight through all year long. I mean, everyone kind of betonline.ag, everybody looks at us and assumes that we're going to probably be the one or two seed to in the West, and then they're waiting to see whether we can be in the playoffs. In that sense, we're exactly where Mike Budenholzer and the Bucks were a year ago at this point. That they had done enough regular season excellence that nobody was going to be impressed by it. And then ironically enough, they weren't nearly as good in the regular season, which only reconfirmed that point of view from everyone. And then they came to the playoffs, got the breaks they needed. I'm really a believer that everyone's got about a 15% chance to win the title. And it either lines up for you or it doesn't. And truly, that my thought on that is that's what happened to the Bucks last year. It lined up, and it didn't line up for us. I mean, I believe if we got Lakers, Nuggets, Suns, I think we'd probably make the finals. I just thought that, you know, Dallas would probably could have handled the Lucas kind of a nightmare. And then the Clippers and the way they played. And the Clippers, by the way, for the regular season, were the second best team in the NBA last year. So that, you know, that's a fair assessment, by the way. We got to own that one. As Jazz fans who want our pride and pumping out our chest, like when the national media doesn't talk about us this year and the narrative about us is what we'll see in the playoffs, we're going to have to own that. It's been four straight. We got to own that. And two pretty big collapses. We're going to have to own that. And the players own it and the coaching staff owns it. Everyone's got to own it. And then we got to prove them wrong. The player that I was most impressed by in the preseason was Elijah Hughes. So the shooting's the first. Like last year, Elijah Hughes shot 8 of 39 in his limited 5 games in the G League. I've talked about this a lot, but in case you're new to the podcast, Elijah Hughes in my mind is the either 39th or 40th pick of the draft and is a rookie. Should be thought of in the same eyes as Jared Butler. He's not the new flavor of the month, so we're not nearly as excited about him and what he's doing because we've already seen him before. But really, if you think about what a rookie goes through is they come out of the season and then they go to all these draft workouts. And these draft workouts, I've been to them. They're very interesting. They're working with NBA coaches. They're working on the pick and roll. They're explaining how they cover things. They're putting them through it, making them do it. And then and literally working with them saying, hey, you got to have your footwork be like this to see whether they can then suddenly do that. It's a great scouting technique. It's why those workouts are so important in the draft process. Then you come in and you get a mini little training camp before Summer League where you go over those things, a 5-day super intensive. Then you go to Summer League. Then you really maybe get a break, but then you come back super early and work in OTAs with the coaching staffs, and then you play pickup for a month with the players, and then you go to training camp, and then you're a rookie. That's all before you ever play your first game as a rookie. Then you get a whole season of G League and basketball and practice and everything else, and then you suddenly try to get ready. Elijah Hughes last year got no draft workouts. He got no training camp. He got no summer league. He got no run before practices. He got really no training camp. And then he didn't get the season-long run because of the testing. They had to send the tests in on the road, wait till they found out if they approved the test before they could all get in the bus together to drive to the arena to go to practice. At that point, you just decide not to practice. It's just too big a pain. And when you have a veteran team like we did last year that understands the game, there's no need to practice. So then Elijah Hughes and like a few coaches and a few youngsters are going and maybe playing 3-on-3 with, you know, one of our coaches was really good at Northwestern, but it's not the same. They had a G League bubble. He played 5 games. Like, it's just not. So he watched and learned, and he wasn't great last year. He went 8 of 39 in 5 games in the bubble, shooting threes. Well, in the preseason, Elijah Hughes just did the following. Elijah Hughes went 9 of 21 from 3. So he made one more 3 in the preseason than he did in all of his G League bubble last year. Now, is he perfect? No, he shot 30. His two-point shooting was 2 of 10. Three-point shooting was 9 of 21. He had 13 rebounds. He had 9 assists. This is a guy who played the most isolation basketball of anyone in college basketball his last year in Syracuse. And he came out and played inside the team. It's exactly what I just talked about with Jared Butler. If you go back and watch Elijah Hughes last year, he didn't do any of that. Every time he got in the ball, it was like he was shooting at the rate, probably at the same rate as Jordan Clarkson, if you looked at his per 36 minutes, I would guess. He started the opening game of the preseason, and he didn't take a shot in 6 minutes. It was the greatest thing I've seen out of him yet in his career. And then I watched him. He played solid. He moved the basketball. He was in the right space. He tried to defend. He comes from a Syracuse, where they play a zone, so you have absolutely no defensive background at all. And you watched him play, and he played inside the team. He played with his teammates. He tried to defend. I mean, he was a disaster defensively when he got to us. He made some shots. Does he need to figure out what he's doing with his two-point game? Sure. Maybe not. Maybe he's Royce O'Neal. Like, he's not going to be a star. He's a second-round draft pick. So what is he going to figure out, and how is he going to be a player? And he seems to have made a major stride to me in figuring that out. I'm not entirely sure that when Joe Ingles takes nights off, or if someone needs a night, that Mia Oney is really the next guy instead of Elijah Hughes. They played about the same amount in the preseason. Oney was 4 of 15 from 3, 5 of 17 from the field, 29%. His defense is better. He fouled He had 6 fouls in 78 minutes. That's always been a problem for him. He doesn't have an offensive game at all, right? He's a catch and shoot guy only, not a lot of wiggle on the dribble and Oni. And Mie is just not knocking down shots like he once did. So I'm not entirely sure that I don't think Elijah Hughes didn't step forward into that spot a little bit. We'll see. You know, hopefully we don't see anytime soon. It means there's something wrong. But to me, that's, if you want to know what camp was to me, I thought that was it. Eric Paschal, Hassan Whiteside learning? Certainly. I thought Whiteside was really, let's wrap it up on this. I thought Whiteside was really good last night. Actually, a little stunning to me that the exact same player that played the game the other night against New Orleans is the same player that played against Milwaukee last night. That's the same player blows my mind. I have no idea. I'd love to talk to him. I have no idea what's the process he's going through right now as a player that those two things could happen within a 3-day period of him, because the Bucks aren't easier to play. He was active. He was engaged. He had an impact. He was defensively in the right spots. He set some picks. He is learning how to play pick and roll. We'll talk about this tomorrow's show because I thought I learned a lot about that. He was really good last night. Like that, if he can do that, that's what we were talking about. So that was exciting. Eric Paschal kind of won Ron Boone over yesterday. He really thinks they can do some important things in that regard. So interesting. Niles wants to know about the jersey color whole discussion. I have some thoughts on it. I don't know. I got to check. Ryan's playing outside the box right now. I'll talk about it tomorrow. All right. Tomorrow we'll talk about pick and roll, versatility, colors. I had something else. We'll do that tomorrow. Go check out that Lockdown Now and tell me what you think. Thanks very much for making Lockdown Jazz your first listen every day. This is the Lockdown Podcast Network.